Why have some of the best recent movies been given such short shrift? Take Bong Joon-ho's new film, Snowpiercer. The movie takes place in a future ice age where the humans who remain are crowded onto one high-speed train run by a wealthy industrialist. They're divided between the haves and the have-nots, and the haves ride in first class. The have-nots are crowded in squalor. But those have-nots begin a rebellion against the train's founder, and as we hear in this scene, the reprisals are brutal.
In front of our hallowed water supply section, no less, you repay his kindness with violent hooliganism. You scum. Precisely 74% of you shall die.
Well, despite much critical acclaim, Snowpiercer hasn't been shown in all that many theaters. And that's a shame, according to Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr, who says that some really good films have been overlooked by movie theater bookers and by audiences. Ty joins us in the studio to talk about a few of his favorites. Ty, welcome back.
Thanks.
So first of all, let's talk a little bit more about Snowpiercer. Why has this film been so overlooked?
Well, it depends on who you ask. This movie was made by Bong Joon-ho. Harvey Weinstein of the Weinstein Company bought the rights, took a look at the finished film, said, no, I'm not going to give this a full release. It's too dark. It's too arty. It won't be understood in Peoria. And a lot of people accused him of sort of sitting on it and putting it out only on in art house theaters, and also giving it to the subsidiary of his, which puts things out on demand early. And once you put something out on demand early, a lot of movie theaters will not play it. He and his company would argue and have argued, well, we're doing innovative releasing strategies here. And in fact, Snowpiercer came out onto On Demand 2 weeks after it hit theaters and has made a ton of money on demand. So they would argue they're doing something right.
That is one of the ways to see these films now once they sort of fall out of distribution favor, if I can put it that way.
It's true. And the landscape is changing in spite of movie theater owners, the exhibitors, resisting it and holding on to that 90-day window. They don't want movies to show up when they're showing it. But there are inroads being made. And I think like 5 years from now, the landscape may look very, very different. And also it points out the fact that the box office has been really, really down this summer. And people are wondering why. And one reason is that they're able to watch a lot of things at home and are actually happier to watch them at home.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another one of your favorite overlooked films of the year. It's The Immigrant, starring Oscar-winning actress Marion Cotillard. Tell us about that.
This is a movie that I think is wonderful. It's not for everybody, but it is an absolute gem. It has tremendous cast. It has Marion Cotillard. It has Joaquin Phoenix doing his Joaquin Phoenix thang. It's set in the 1920s. It's about Marion Cotillard as an immigrant from Europe who arrives through Ellis Island, the classic trajectory, with her sister. And actually, there's a scene here I think you have of her coming on the boat and dealing with Joaquin Phoenix.
What's the matter?
I love my sister here.
Do not worry. She's going to get the best medical care available. Do you have a place to stay?
No. Do you know somewhere?
Yeah, I know a place. If you'd like, I can take you there. Yes?
This is old school classic filmmaking, and it just tore me up. I've seen this movie twice, and I'm a wreck at the end. It's got tremendous performances. It is heartbreaking. It is beautifully shot. The music, as you can hear, is gorgeous. I don't understand why Weinstein, again, is not pushing this film. It's out of theaters now. It's not on demand. It's kind of in limbo. Where is this movie? It really deserves to be seen.
Well, that's high praise indeed. And now I got to add it to my list of things to see, Ty. Then there's also another movie on your list that just sounds really interesting, Fading Gigolo.
Yeah. Well, this is a movie that stars and is written by and directed by John Turturro. And a lot of people are thinking of it as a Woody Allen movie because he plays a supporting role. But really, it's a Turturro movie. And he plays a character, a typical Manhattan middle-aged schnook who's worked in a bookstore that's just closed, who has a second job as a florist. And the bookstore owner, who's played by Woody Allen, decides that to help him out, he's going to become his pimp. So why don't we listen to that scene?
You need a guy like Tom Ford or George Clooney. You're not that. You're a man's man in a certain way. You know, You're not afraid to get dirty. You get your hands dirty. You work with plants, earth. You're with wires and plumbing and drain pipes and bowls. You know, you do disgusting work. You're not afraid. Hey, you're disgusting in a very positive way.
It sounds like it's going to be like a silly farce. It's not. It actually ends up being kind of a touching romantic comedy drama.
So why do you think then that this film hasn't had more support or wider distribution? I mean, it sounds so engaging.
It is engaging. People who've seen it really like it a lot. I think one of the issues is that the studio pushed it as a Woody Allen film because he's more recognizable than John Turturro. And Woody Allen right now is kind of a qualified liability in the culture for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's hard to tell what this movie is. Is it a farce? Is it a drama? This is the wonder of independent film. They're all unique. They kind of all go their own way. When they work well. This one works well.
Okay. So there's one last film that I want to talk about because when I saw it on your list, it kind of surprised me. It's in a totally different genre.
Yep.
Sci-fi film Edge of Tomorrow, starring Tom Cruise, set in the future. Humans are at war with aliens. And Cruise plays an officer who relives a pivotal battle over and over and over again. And as one of our producers called it, it's sort of a sci-fi version of Groundhog Day. And Emily Blunt, I believe, plays a fellow soldier who tells him the benefits that you get new chances to turn the tide of the battle in this case. But there's also a catch, and we've got a scene here, so let's listen.
You get injured on the field, you better make sure you die.
Why?
Last time I was in combat, I was hit. I was bleeding out. Just not fast enough. I woke up in a field hospital with 3 pints of someone else's blood, and I was out. I lost the power. Do you understand?
Now, Ty, I was interested to see this film on your list because I remember posters and billboards. I mean, it seems like it had a lot of studio support.
Why am I putting a Tom Cruise movie on a list of the overlooked films of the year? First of all, this is not a movie aimed at the art house crowd. The people who are into Wes Anderson are not going to go see this. The people who are going to see this potentially are the mainstream audiences. What we are learning, especially in this time of falling box office, is that they will go see sequels, prequels, pre-sold things. They won't go see an original story. Uh-huh. And they won't go see, you know, Tom Cruise, he's still a movie star, but it's got to be Mission Impossible or they're not necessarily going to go. Now, the catch is, this is a really good popcorn movie. It's not absurdly violent, but it pays off on that big budget summer movie level. It's a good movie, and it's not being really sort of recognized as such.
Interesting. So this says more about viewers' habits today than it does about studio support.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I would argue that this movie is probably going to be seen much more on demand because people say, oh, yeah, Tom Cruise, I'll dial that up tonight. But they're not going to pay $12 to go see it in a movie theater.
Maybe to ride on the sequel bandwagon, they should have called it Edge of the Day After Tomorrow.
There you go. Edge of Tomorrow 2. Just don't tell anybody that there was an original movie.
Well, we've been talking about films that came and went and maybe shouldn't have gone so fast, but you can still see them, many of them, on demand because they're worth it, according to Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr. And we'll have a list of the films we've talked about, plus some others you might want to check out at hereandnow.org. Ty, it's great to talk to you. Thank you, as always.
Thanks, Magda. Nice to be here.
And when you're at our website, drop us a line and let us know what movies you think have been overlooked and are worth adding to our watch list. Again, that's at hereandnow.org.
You know, I don't even have time to go to the theater right now because I'm so busy catching up on Game of Thrones. I'm behind, but I'm getting there. I just finished season 2. And for anybody who hasn't seen it, I will not even tell you what's happening at that point because a lot has happened.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Here and Now.